The following audio is from Hope Hill Church. To learn more about Hope Hill Church, please visit hopehillchurch.org.
We are in a very special time of year. What is July 4th known for? Independence Day. Yes, exactly. We are getting ready to celebrate the independence of Hope Hill Church. And I'm going to explain more about that in just a few minutes, but we are glad you're here today, and we want you to raise a hand as our ushers pass out a piece of paper. Everyone needs one of these. We did not pass these out in advance, so if you can raise your hand, we're going to pass these out. Great. As we get ready to celebrate the independence of Hope Hill Church, we're going to let you know more of what that looks like and what that means for us as a community. And so this is something huge. It's a big step. Some of you are kind of unsure. What is independence? What does independence mean? And we're going to explain all of that. So hopefully no one will leave today feeling confused about what we're talking about. Today is going to take more of a family style of meeting where we're going to have time for questions and answers and dialogue. Where we're going to have time for us to say, you know, just like how many of you ever had a chore chart at home? It was so-and-so's day to do the dishes. How many of you ever had a chore chart? Vacuuming, dusting. Hello? Are you hearing me? How many of you ever had a chore chart at home? There you go. Okay. Well, today we're going to talk about some of the chores that are needed to be done in our family as a church. And we're going to kind of show you who's doing what a little bit. And we're going to talk about some places where we've got some holes, some chores that aren't being done as effectively as they could be, and some that aren't being done at all. And we want to, as a community, step into these next few months, laying some good foundation for our future as a church. Can somebody bring me my Bible and my notepad, right? Thank you very much. Thank you, Eric. All right, so let me go ahead and pray for us, and then we'll dive in. God, thank you for this morning. Thank you for what you're doing in the building of this community, in the building of this church. And God, we come to you right now, asking your Holy Spirit would help us to understand what it really means that you've called us to be a part of your body and what it means for us to be the church in this area. And God, I pray that as you have shown us by the outpouring of your Holy Spirit, how lives have been changed already, how Hope Hill Church has come together and planted some deep and great roots, that you have a lot more in store for us as we grow to become the people that you've called us to be. And so, God, I pray that you lead us through this talk this morning. You help us to understand what it means to go forward and to be able to stand on our own while ultimately standing on you, independently resting on you, but also, God, being in partnership with the other churches around us and around the world. And so, God, I pray that you just bless our time together over these next 30 minutes, 40 minutes, hour and a half, however long it takes, God. Thank you for being here. In your name we pray. Amen. All right. So we passed out a sheet to you. I want you to look at it real quick, and then we'll refer back to it at the end. This is a sheet that is often on the Get Plugged In table. We believe that church is not a spectator sport. What we mean by this is that everyone is called to play in the game. Everybody has a role. Everybody has a gifting. Everybody has a skill set that God wants to use for the benefit of the body and ultimately so that the body can serve the world better. And on this half sheet of paper, you see many different descriptive words there. Everything from drama and dance, to AV and tech, to teaching different areas. And we want you to think about, how is God possibly gifting me, and how could I be used to help Hope Hill Church become all that God wants it to be and to more effectively be able to impact our world? And so we want you to think about those things and those areas as we go through our morning discussion. And if you have questions about any of these areas, this is a morning where I want to try and not do all the talking, but I'll intentionally try to build in some pauses for you to be able to ask questions, and we'll treat it more like that. So can I have a runner possibly? Well, we're small enough. You guys can Well, are we recording? So can we have a mic? That will help us so we can record for people who aren't here today. That'll be helpful. Okay. So I'm going to pull this up and we'll use it as needed. Thanks. All right. So the last thing that I want to ask for before we go is, can somebody get me a cup of water? I'm already feeling like, I don't know why, a buildup of dryness. Okay. So, where did Hope Hill start and why? Well, I'm going to really kind of start back in the beginning. There's a passage of scripture found in the book of Genesis, in the book Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 2. And this is really the beginning of the promise of God to reach the world and bless the world through the church. How many of you grew up in church? Like, is anybody here actually like born on the altar? Your mom just popped you out and there you were. Yeah, okay, a couple of you. Some of you have been in a church a long time. And so you may remember songs like Father Abraham. Yeah? Father Abraham had many sons. Head up, head down, spin around. Yeah, okay. So anyway, yes, I'll spare you the rest of the song and dance. But we at Hope Hill need to look back and realize that Hope Hill didn't just all of a sudden come out of nowhere, but we are a part of God's movement from the beginning of time. God created an Adam and Eve, and as Adam and Eve grew and lived, they had children, and they started to spread and multiply across the earth. And God built within us also the freedom to follow him or not. And this, in a sense, choice was inside us for us to choose to follow him or not. And many people chose not to follow him, and others did. Well, God spoke to this guy named Abram when he was about 75 years old. And do we have those verses? Genesis chapter 12, 1 and following. The Lord said to Abraham, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household." So basically everything you know, I want you to leave it. All the stuff you've built up, everything that you've come to acquire, I want you to pick up and I want you to move on. And go to where? Where is he told to go? Say it. A land that I will show you. Okay. So basically God said, yeah, you've got all that. And Abram had acquired a lot. He had a wife. He had family. There was tons of animals. And I want you to get up and now leave. And did God tell him where he was going to go? Not initially. God led him one step at a time. And let's go on and see what happens. I will make you into a great nation. And I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. All the peoples on the earth will be blessed through you. So as Abram has this extended family, at this point, no kids of his own. He didn't have a child until late in life, and his wife kind of laughed when God said, hey, you're going to have a kid. And she was like, yeah, right, whatever. Abram was promised by God that he would become a nation, a fatherless person being told, I'm going to make you into a great nation. And that's why we now sing that song, Father Abraham. Because God has been fulfilling that promise to Abraham ever since that time to now. And God has told this people that grew out of this man, Abraham, that I will be your God and you will be my people. Follow me and I will bless you. And you will then be a blessing to the rest of the world. And so from that point forward, God had a plan unfolding. But again, whenever you put people into a plan of God, there's bound to be mistakes. There's bound to be detours. There's bound to be course correction needed along the road. And if you read throughout the Old Testament, you'll see a lot of mess that all became because we just chose to do it our way instead of God's way. But God knew even from then that we would ultimately need a redeemer. That we would ultimately need a sacrificial lamb to pay for the sins of the world, the sins of all those before and all those who are yet to come, and the sins of all of us represented in this room. And so a day came when God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to come to this earth to live 33 years, a sinless, perfect life, and then to lay down his life on a cross and be sacrificed in our place to pay for our sins. And before Jesus' time on earth was done, he turned to those group of men, and really women as well, a group of followers who were following him, and he said, I'm going to leave you behind to continue the work that I've started. And upon you, Peter, I'm going to build the what? The church. And we have that here now today. The church is the body of Christ on earth. While he is not here physically, we are the body manifested on this earth to be, the scripture says, the hands and the feet of Jesus. And that is ultimately why the church is here, to take the love of Christ, the message of Christ, the gospel of Christ, to a world that is still many times choosing their own thing. And let's face it, you and I, as part of the church, we still mess up. I'll probably mess up today. And I confess to my community group that I need to learn how to become more gentle. And somebody said, well, you're a pastor, aren't you supposed to? Yeah, even your pastor has a lot of mistakes, a lot of sin in my life that I still have to go daily to Jesus to say, I need forgiveness. But God tells us that he's there to be our God, and we will be his people if we follow him. And so we as a church felt like we needed to make this important for all of us, not just leadership, not just a certain few individuals, but all of us were called to the same thing. And that's what the church is. The church, if you were here, how many of you have been here with us since September 9th when we moved into this building? September 9th, 2011. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. 12 of you. Okay. Well, that's awesome. A lot of them are on the soccer fields right now. We started basically gathering together in my home back in March of 2010 and prayed, God, show us what you might want for a new church in our area. Statistics show in this area alone, in this Northern Virginia, and even more specifically in the Woodbridge kind of 22193, 22012, in this area, if you take like a rope and go 5 miles out, about 82% of the people that live in this area do not claim to be a believer of Jesus Christ. 82%. How many of you, that's news to you, didn't realize the number was that high? 82%. There was a census done, the last national census, where people, you know, were asked questions. And 82% in this area said that they are not a follower, a Christian follower of Jesus Christ. We live in a diverse area. A lot of different world religions represented here, and a lot of people who believe in different versions of Christianity. They might believe in Mormonism or Jehovah's Witness and things like that. And so other statistics have shown that more people have come to know Christ through the birthing of new churches. And so there's been this huge movement of new church starts over the last decade. And we are one of those churches. Back in 2002, I felt like God was leading me to step from youth ministry into starting a new church. And I started praying at that time, God, if that's true, please don't let it be in Northern Virginia. Let me go somewhere easier, like North Carolina, or, you know, somewhere where a commute is like 3 minutes. Well, I got blessed. I only have to commute a couple hundred feet because I live right behind the school here. But God had a different plan, and he told us, no, we want you here. And so we started praying, and God gave us a picture of what a new church could look like in this area. And so you don't have to listen to me for the full time. We're going to show you a little video. Some of you have seen it, kind of showing the beginning of how we started in our school and into our very first Sunday into this place. So go ahead and show that, Austin. There are many ways to start a church. And there are a lot of books out there on how to start a church. And we took time as a small team to pray about what would starting a church look like. And we targeted February 13th, the Sunday after Super Bowl. Statistically, it's a high-attended Sunday, so they thought we could get a good crowd, and you didn't want to compete with the Super Bowl, so don't do it on February 6th. So we targeted February 13th, and we were looking towards that, and the numbers just kept growing through the summer, though, to the point where we had one night we reached 80 people in our home, and it was like, we can't wait till February 13th. It's just growing too fast. And we called the school here, and at that time, there was another principal here, and she was like, I'm sorry, but we've just kind of made it so that we give our staff the weekends off, and we don't really feel comfortable partnering with the church. And so we were like, man, where are we going to meet? And a month later, that principal retired, announced out of the blue. And the new principal started working here, and within a five-minute conversation that I came over to meet him, he was like, oh, you're starting a church? Have you found a place to meet? Why don't you use our building? So it was like, it was perfect. And God has been, God knew this is his church. We have been following his timetable, not a book, not a strategy, but at the same time, God has been doing some things that have blown us away. In the first year of us kind of meeting together, over 50 people were baptized and gave their lives to the Lord. Many other people started coming as word spread, and now there's over 300 people that call Hope Hill a part of their community. And there are times when we have special engagements and we'll fill this up, and some of you have been here for them. But we are about being the body of Christ here in this area. And from the very beginning, one of the books said what you ought to do in order to create crowds and energy is parties all the time. Once a month, do a block party where you have inflatables and you do popcorn and all those kinds of things. And that seemed like a fun idea, but then one night, Brandy and I were driving around having a date, and all that we kept thinking about was how could we really not just have fun here, but how can we really make a difference out there? And so we drove down 234 towards Route 1, and we saw this trailer park that we've passed thousands of times and never even realized it was there, and just felt like we need to turn in here. And as we turned in, there's a pool and a playground there, and it was just swarming with kids, and we just felt like our heart was being drawn to that trailer park. And then we learned about another trailer park. And so from the very beginning, we decided that instead of trying to get out of the gate and throw our own parties and just enjoy one another, let's put resources into being a blessing to our community and giving to them. And so the first free sale happened. You saw pictures of that. And we've done like five since then. And more and more people are being blessed, and it's happening because of you. We want to be a church that is about impacting our world and making a difference by going out of these walls and living out the calling of Christ. Jeremiah 29:11 is a very popular verse, but many people don't know the passage before that. Jeremiah 29:4-7. Before we read this, basically the Israelites were taken captive by another people group. And they were made slaves. And God said, don't worry, but follow me and I'll bless you. He said, this is what the Lord Almighty God, the God of Israel, says to those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build your houses there. Settle down. Plant gardens and eat produce. So basically he said, live. Live life there. Go ahead. Don't worry about where you used to be, but where I've led you. Even though you're in captivity, live life there. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters and increase in number there. Do not decrease. Keep going. Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. So for years I was praying, God, I want to plant a church, but not in D.C., not in Northern Virginia. But God showed me that he has me here in exile, and he wants me here to find sons for my daughters, and it's happening a little too fast. So, but the point is that God has called each and every one of us to this place for this time and this season to be his hands and his feet here in this place. And as we pray for the city, not just for our own, but as we pray for the city and the people around us, he will lead us. And we will bring blessing to them, and we will be blessed. So, We want to be about equipping you and helping you be what you need to be. And I have a lot that I want to say to you. So I think what we're going to do in a creative way is we're going to keep going past our norm. We're going to be done at about noon. I know it's a change. They're all like back there, what? What I think we'll do is we'll move our communion to our back area. And as you feel, as you're ready to leave today, you can participate in communion as you leave today. So we're not going to stop for the normal time, and I'll lead us into that time still. But we've got some important stuff to go over, and they just gave me the five-minute signal, and there's no way I'm going to get done in 5 minutes. So we'll still have music to close. So, okay, here we go. So God has led us here, and he doesn't just want us to be about Hope Hill Church. He doesn't want us to just pool our resources and bless ourselves and come up with really great programs for our kids. We want to do that, and we want to do everything that we're going to do to the best of our ability. But our main goal is not about what can we do for ourselves, but how does God want to use us to bless this area? And so we want to keep our eyes outward instead of inward. At the same time, in order for us to be what God wants us to be, we have to equip each other. We have to strengthen each other, sharpen each other. And so when we come together to worship, we need to know that we're called to glorify God in everything we do. As a body, we come together here to lift him up, to worship him, to sing songs to him, to get into his word so that we can be equipped, so that we can learn the examples that have gone on before us, so that we can follow in Jesus' footsteps. We get into his word. We study the things that we should learn. And then we encourage you to get plugged into community groups where you can really have time. When someone says there's going to be time for questions and answers, there really is time for questions and answers. And that happens every week at a community group where you can get to know someone, where you can be prayed for. We've heard encouragement from the Vosses this morning as their community group has surrounded them and praying for their son Noah. We want you to not just be a chair sitter on a Sunday morning, but really get involved in knowing each other. Last week, as I said, you know, take 30 seconds to shake a hand and get to know someone. There's no time to really get to know someone here on a Sunday morning. So I said, instead, invite them out to lunch. Get together with them during dinner sometime the week. Gracie, is she in the room? Yeah, she's sitting right back there. Came to me at the end, and she said, there was a family that was prayed over a couple weeks ago, and I want to get to know them better. You know, I want to pray for them and know. And she was referring to Colette and Nick when you guys came forward to be prayed for. And so talk to each other afterwards and find a time to get to know each other. That's what we need to be. We need to be living life together, getting involved with one another, and helping each other become the disciples that God is calling us to be. And if Sunday morning is the only meal you get, spiritually speaking, you're never going to grow and become what God wants you to become. So get involved by learning what it means to become a follower of Jesus every day, and we'll help you do that. When we become obedient to God's call in our life, God promises to bless us. At the very beginning steps of the church in Acts chapter 2, God led the beginning of the church, and he turned to his disciples and the followers that were waiting for the Holy Spirit to come, and he said, I'm now going to empower you to be my witnesses to the rest of the world. And when they were obedient and went out and lived the gospel and preached the gospel and brought life-changing news to their city, here's what happened. Those who accepted the message were baptized. About 3,000 were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. We want to be that kind of community where we come together to learn the apostles' teaching and the teachings of God from the Word, where we spend time breaking bread together in one another's homes, getting to know each other instead of just grabbing a burrito in a car every once in a while. Let's really get together around each other's tables and get to know each other. Some of you are like, man, if I could do that with my own family, that would be great. I know we live in a busy area. But let's take time and make time for the things that should be priorities in our life. Hope Hill Church exists to glorify God, to transform lives, and to impact the world. We want to help you glorify God by coming together regularly. Do not forsake the assembly of the saints, scriptures tell us. And so find a church home, and my hope is that this will become your church home, where you'll come together often and gather together to worship God, but also on your own. Worship is not just what we do on a Sunday morning, it's how we live our life every day. And so on your own, find ways that you can be a life of worship to God. The second part, transform lives. Get involved in a Bible study. Get involved in life-transforming things that will help you become a better disciple. A community group is another great way. We also have other groups that are kind of starting. We have a Wednesday morning 6:30 Panera Bible study for men. There's a Saturday morning Bible study at Tony's house. And there's also a couples study that happens on Saturdays at Tony's house. There are a number of ways we're looking to find ways to encourage each other and to get into God's word together. And therefore, we can be able to go out into the world and bring transformation to the world. We don't want to be a place that's just like the Red Cross and offers a bed when needed and coats and clothes and shoes. If that's all we did, that wouldn't be enough. But instead, we want to also offer the love of Christ and the power that comes through the gospel. And so as a church, we can then go out and really transform the world. And then we'll see impact happen. So as we look to do this, there's a few things that we have to realize that are needed in order for us to do all of this. First of all, it takes us being willing to give to God what he has blessed us with. A lot of times in Scripture, this is called tithing, giving back to God of our time, our talent, and our resources. In the Scriptures, it says, bring to me the first fruits of your labor and store them in a storehouse so that when time of need comes, it'll be there. And so on a Sunday morning, we'll collect an offering so that we can bring resources together from the group and have them to pull from to meet the needs. Our first year of existing, in order to do all we did, all that God led us to do, our community was able to come up with about $250,000 in a year. And we in turn then went out and were able to start this church. We were able to be a blessing to our community. This past year, we thought that it was going to take about $100,000 more, about $350,000. And this year, our year ends the end of this month. We have so far brought in about $310,000 to be able to do all that God has led us to do. Again, a large portion of that has gone outside these walls to be a blessing to our community. And we believe in the next year, from the numbers we're crunching, to be able to line up with what we think God is calling us to do, because that's the way you do it. You figure out, what does God want us to do? And then, what is it going to take to get there? Does that make sense? We don't look back and say, what do we think we can come up with? And then, God, what can you get out of this? Instead, we say, God, how can we be obedient? What do you want us to do? And then what might it cost? And sometimes our figures are off, but we think it might cost us about $450,000 for the next year, starting July 1st and running through the end of the fiscal year, which is July 1st through June 30th. And this year, we've been able to do everything effectively and with excellence that God has called us to do. And we've been able to do that with about $310,000 this year. So thank you to you for doing that. But as a church that has been a church plant and not an independent church, one blessing that we have had is the support of sponsoring churches. And of that $310,000 that we've been able to bring in and then send back out to do God's work, about $100,000 of that has come from sponsoring churches that want to get behind us. And as we step into independence, we will lose some of that outside support. Not all of it. I know we're promised to have about half of it. So about $50,000 is going to be coming in. But it just then turns back to us. As a chick in its nest has to learn how to fly on its own, so must we. And as we take the step towards independence and becoming our own self-supporting church that will one day be able to plant another church and one day see many of you become fully devoted followers of Christ and stepping out into your own ministries possibly. We want to be able to be for you what others have been for us. And so, there's a lot ahead of us. And we wanted as a family to kind of fill you in on where we've come from, where we believe God is leading us, and how we're going to get there. And so I want to take the next 10 minutes to turn it back to you, to allow you to ask questions about anything that I've presented today. And let's see where it goes. And if we need to have a second meeting, we'll do that. But any questions about anything I've shared? And if anyone here knows that I should have covered something important, you can bring it up now and we can touch it before we move on. Questions about any of it? Even about things like this. How can I serve? Any questions? So either I was a really great communicator, and you all get it, or you're like ready to check out, or you're asleep. No questions? Here we go. There's one.
It's a simple question. It's just, do you have areas here that need more attention than others? Because Brandon and I are definitely wanting to get more involved. We're in our community group, and we love our community group. It's an awesome community group. But unfortunately, our spring has been so busy, we haven't been here to worship every Sunday. So our community group is a way to keep us plugged in, and it really keeps us going and keep us in tune to what's going on.
Yes.
But in looking at this, we were just curious. There's couples, you know, there's several that I might circle, but I didn't know if there were some that needed special attention.
Yes, all of them. I'm not lying, guys. You know how good sports teams have a second string and a third string and some even a fourth string? We barely have a first string starting team, to be honest. This morning when we showed up for setup, our hope is to have about 10 people here every Sunday morning for setup, and we've been maybe having two. In addition to our regular staff that set up, that come, we need 10 additional people. And so this time of year, you're right, there's so many things going on. Our goal is to have 40 people on the setup team so that every week, there's four teams. So you show up the first Sunday of the month, your team shows up the second, and if for some reason something needs to be changed, you can change. But if we had four teams, then you'd have to serve one Sunday a month. And so setup is huge, and that's helping set up everything that you see here in our other rooms and then tearing it down. If you're interested in setup, circle it. You can see Harvey. Harvey and Chris Smith can help you get plugged in more. Chris. We also have First Touch, which is our parking attendants, our greeters, our ushers, people who do communion. We need help in those areas as well. And we'd love to have different people because there are times when the people that would do it regularly have to be out. If you're interested in First Touch, you can see Chris and Lisa Smith or Kevin Tate. Donna Conley can even get you connected. She helps kind of coordinate who helps with communion each week. So that's good. What are other big areas, guys?
AV.
Yeah, sound and AV. Each week, Austin's back there pushing buttons. Marie has been recruited this year. Eric's going to be gone in 2 months. What good are you? He'll be going back to school. So if you're interested in just pushing buttons and helping run cables, setup is extremely important, but also, yeah, we want to equip you to do everything we need you to do. So the training will be there. We just need your willingness and availability. So yeah, Eric. That's a great question.
100% like we do in the school year, or
have we got word, TJ, about setup and teardown for the summer?
We're 90% sure that we can leave it set up. We'll know this week, but if so, it'll only be one or two areas that we have to tear down and leave most of it. So it's going to help
Yeah. What we want to do, if we are able to leave it set up, is use that extra time to train and build teams. We'll go as a team into different areas and train you on how to set up and tear down in different areas so that once we hit the school, we'll be ready to hit the set up and tear down schedule right. We also could use some AV tech people during the week. Austin is often making graphics and stuff like you see on the screens, and if any of you have like a knack for videography, or which isn't a word, cinematography is the right word. I saw that on Facebook on Austin's thing. Somebody called him out. But anyways, photography, web design, anybody to help with those kind of things, we could use help in those areas as well. You got a question, Eric? No? Just stretching?
No,
yeah.
No, we got a question.
Go ahead.
As far as communication goes, being new here, I mean, what's my best way to get all of this information maybe in a little more detail, or is there, I know you're having this meeting. I know that like these questions here that are coming up as far as how do I get involved, what does it involve, details. I know that, yeah, I see that.
The absolute best way that we have in place right now at the stage at which we are is to circle this, and we will have a team member contact you. So if you're interested in any of the areas on this sheet, even if you just think you might be, but you're not sure, we're not asking you to sign in blood yet, circle your name here and we will have a team member contact you, okay? And you can also go on our website on the contact link, send us a contact through that if you don't want to turn this in today. Yes?
When going to follow up on things, is the website a good place? What's the city, the hill? I've never understood all the communication things. Maybe you could explain it to everybody.
Maybe not.
I don't have explanation for it yet because we're revamping everything this summer. So right now, paper and pen is the absolute best. Okay. The city isn't going away. The hill is for student ministries. They're not going away, but we are going to start using them better. And so we don't yet have the news yet to share about those. And we will explain in detail what each of those tools are and how they're best used. Great. Donna.
Can I put a plug-in for Red?
Yes, hospitality team. They definitely, you can go while I talk.
I think I need it.
Yeah. We need to record it so other people can hear it. People are going to be listening.
I was actually going to turn it over to my husband, Michael, who just went behind the curtain.
He's coming.
But we do have a need for a bread pickup. If you can't be here if you could be here early Sunday morning, even just to drop off the bread, like Jack Leeson this morning. I don't see him here right now, but okay. I'm sorry, Jack, you are here. But I know he dropped off for us today. There's a big need for that. We need people to go to Panera, be there no later than 8:45 on a Saturday night, and then bring the bread to church on Sunday mornings by 8:30. It's a little way to help, but it's a huge help. So if you're interested in that,
if we got number of people, you would do it maybe once a month or once every other month.
We're hoping to get like once every 6 weeks, 6-7 weeks, right, or something like that.
Panera donates all of that free of charge to us at the end of their Saturday night. Whatever they have left, they give to us. So we just need someone there to pick it up and to bring it here on Sunday mornings. So
you also get
great.
To pull out the best pastries at your house.
Yeah.
Jack, I'm not rushing over there for that.
Okay, so, Kevin. He's waiting for the mic. So as we step into this next year, we really are counting on our body to step up and to say, yeah, okay, sign us up. We understand what it means to be a part of the team. And in order for us to be successful, God's calling us to do, we all have a part to play in this. Go ahead, Kevin.
One thing I noticed wasn't on there, but is a need, at least I'm speaking for Dave. he doesn't know it yet, but Dave Matters leads our towing team for the trailers, mm-hmm. and all of that. So if there's somebody who's willing to help get in a schedule to tow the trailers here, that would be awesome. If you have a vehicle that's capable of doing it, that would be even better because we're
need
sharing
a
vehicle.
Need a hitch on a 250 rated vehicle or higher.
Yeah.
F-250, 2500 type vehicle or higher with a hitch.
Yep.
Great.
Thank you.
All right. So there you go. That was a quick dump. Marie, yes. She's one of our administrative team members. So is that what you want to mention? Yes, please do.
I figured everybody else was standing up. And oh, I don't like this. I'm Marie, and I'm the admin assistant here. So a lot of what you see on your chairs, a little less fancy stuff, I help print out. And if you have announcements, anything important that you want to get into our worship guides, I ask a lot of our team leads, a lot of key folks, if they have anything they want in here, we get that in here each week. And then your connection cards, I usually, always end up with these at the end of service or at our staff meeting. And if you have checked anything off or are requesting information about any of these areas or wish to volunteer, then I am a liaison between you and the team lead for whichever area that might be to try to get you connected or try to reach out. So I do a lot of that communication behind the scenes. And I have two ladies that regularly help me. They know who they are, Donna and Lisa Major. If anyone is interested in doing any admin behind the scenes, I do a little bit of everything from Excel spreadsheets to Word docs to just sign up sheets, whatever we might need that's the pen and paper. So thanks.
Good. There are several other leaders that we're not going to introduce to you right now. If you're interested in working in an area, you'll get to meet them. So circle, indicate. And what I want to do today as we close is we as Christians are the body of Christ. And we are here to be reminded each week to worship him, to live for him, and to remember that this is all possible because of what he did for us. And so as we leave today, we want you to be asking yourself this question: how do you want me to be a part of your body here, the body of Hope Hill Church? And as you leave today, think about that. Drop your sheet with your areas of inquiry at the Get Plugged In. We'll have our communion teams back there for you to take communion as you leave. And the reason we're doing this each week is, again, to remember that this is all because of God, what he did, and his son's body being broken and his blood being shed for us. And so let's remember that when we eat of this meal together, that this is all because of what he did for us. And if for some reason you want prayer about anything, stay after. We'll have prayer teams kind of in this back area over here that will be willing to pray with you after our services are done. So thank you. Things are a little different today. We just had to get some important information out. And one last thing, July 1st is our day at the beach for baptisms. So you saw some of the baptisms at a beach. We're going to be going there again July 1st. So if you have made a decision to follow Christ and you've not been baptized, consider doing that July 1st. Let me know over the next couple weeks and we'll get you plugged in. We'll have a wonderful day of service and celebration picnic there at the beach and at Montclair Dolphin Beach. It's going to be a lot of fun and we'll have more information out about it. So let me pray and we'll be done today. God, thank you so much for who you are, for the way you love us, and more importantly, that you invite us to be a part of what you're doing. And so, God, thank you for the birthing of this new church and how you're using us to make a difference in this area. Thank you for the individuals that are here to be a part of your body. Show us each how we can be used by you to make a difference. In your name we pray. Amen. Be blessed. Thanks for being here. Prayer available, communion on your way out. Have a great week.